It's being discussed here in the state of Utah, and I so appreciate Representative Rebecca Chavez-Houck joining us on the line right now. Rebecca, I had a conversation with Dan Diaz this morning that just, man, I'll tell you, it touched me deeply, and I watched this story unfold. We talked about this story here on the radio, and to actually talk with her husband, and he didn't break down, but you could hear the emotion in his voice, and he promised Brittany that he would carry on her fight after her passing, and he's in town, and we wanted to put in a phone call to you as well. What have your conversations been like when you have talked with people who are advocates of dying with dignity?
Mm-hmm. Well, Doug, I just want to thank you, first of all, for giving Dan an opportunity to share Brittany's story and to share his story and his perspective. I think that that's the thing that is going to help us process this and understand this option fully and as best we can, is to actually hear from individuals who have been a part of it in other states and in other communities. You know, I invite people to not operate in a world of hypotheticals, in the what ifs, or this might happen, or I think this is what's going to happen. Let's have conversations with the people that have experienced this. And let's take a look at the data, and let's take a look at the very few cases where this has actually been utilized in the last two decades in Oregon. You would look at the data, and almost 20 years since it was implemented in 1997, just a little over 1,400 people have even asked for the prescription. And of those, just a little over 900 that have utilized it. So I just invite people not to operate from a space of fear and unknowing, because we know, we have conversations with families and we have conversations with patients here in Utah who are the most brave, gracious, powerful, fierce people I know. They are not vulnerable. They know what they want. They are very clear in their autonomy and in their agency of knowing that they just want this as some peace of mind. They want to be able to be with their families, cognizant and aware and participating with them as much as they possibly can. And, you know, we know of stories where individuals find themselves compelled when they're in those final few days because the pain is so horrific. And they're not sleeping, and as much and as amazing as palliative care is, as Dan mentioned, and as much as we want people to utilize that to its fullest extent, sometimes that just isn't what the best outcome for them. So, you know, I just invite people not to operate in the unknown. Yes, of course, we know that death is unknown, but for many of these people, it is imminent. We know what's happening. They are in the process of dying, and they need to make that determination with their agency and in their own spiritual discernment as they're evaluating where they're at.
Among the many things that Dan told us earlier that touched me deeply, two things in particular. He talked about how much comfort Brittany got from just knowing at this terrible time with this terrible news and the terrible effect and her looming death, that she still had a degree of control and choice. He talked about how comforting that was for her. And then I mentioned that often on the other side of this argument, and believe me, I'm sympathetic to both sides here, and I've wrestled with this, even with experiences we've had within our own family. And I said, often we will hear from people who are saying we don't have this right because who knows what could happen at that very last moment? Who knows what could happen, that epiphanal moment, that moment of lucidity that you haven't seen, that moment of clarity and that touching, heartwarming moment. And Dan just said, we had that. Mm-hmm. We had that. Brittany had that. And it touched me deeply. And so while people are weighing personal beliefs, their moral beliefs, their religious beliefs, and everything else, and any time I think we start equating human life with traditional animal life, you know, that makes me uncomfortable. But who among us would allow one of our beloved, sweet little family pets to go through the horrific pain and agony and suffering that we see our grandparents go through and our parents go through, and we, in some cases, see in our future as Brittany did?
Right. Well, and I think for each individual, again, it's so personal and it's so individual. And for that sweet grandparent or loved one, that the journey that they take may be, I want to do this as God wills, as I discern God willing it. But I also think that, you know, God gives us reason to take what is a failed to us and to utilize it as a choice.
Yeah.
You know, we have that agency, and it is something that for each individual, that agency is very distinct, and I am not going to impose what that agency means for one person versus another. But right now in Utah, we have people who want that agency that don't have it. They don't have that access. And, you know, I would just invite people, again, to learn more about what, you know, in the totality of all that has happened in the other states, and to have a conversation with the terminally ill patients here in Utah, the Utahns that so desperately and so adamantly want this option at their to be used, because what they want to be able to do is live life to its fullest. They don't want to have to worry. They want to be able to experience every day they possibly can very, very fully. And this is not a failure. This is not giving up. Again, the patients that I've worked with so far, just amazing, powerful individuals, and very clear about what they envision and what they would like to be able to do. And, you know, when you look at one third of the individuals that don't even utilize the prescription in Oregon, it means that their journey was different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. And that's right. And I ask folks that I respect however that spiritual discernment looks for them and their loved ones. This is not a requirement, and you've never seen a situation. I mean, the data doesn't show that vulnerable populations are pushed to do this, because the independence of these patients is just, it is really fierce. That's the only way that I can put it, because
right.
They are such strong-willed individuals, and they know what they want.
Rebecca, this will appear again in the Utah State Legislature. Is it going to be titled the End of Life Options Act?
Options Act, yes.
Right.
And we're going to be exploring it a bit more in depth next month in July HHS. And so we can get a chance to look at the data and visit with physicians from Oregon that actually assist, you know, help the patients get the medication and educate them on their other options and what their possibilities are and alternatives. And so that's where we want to operate, from a space of knowledge and a space of understanding.
We will look forward to future conversations on this, and I appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it, Doug.
Thank you, Representative Rebecca Chavez-Hauk, joining us here at KSL News Radio, discussing the End of Life Options Act that she will once again be presenting before the Utah State Legislature. When we come back, our phone lines are going to be open. I want to hear from you on this issue. We're getting some comments. We just put this up on our Doug Wright Show Facebook page just a few moments ago, and we're asking for your thoughts on this. Should the terminally ill have the right to die with dignity?
From Doug's analysis, we jump into Utah's new news and then the all-new JMAC News Show at 12:30 on KSL News Radio.